admit I don't look like the athlete of the day supposed to look. My belly's just a little big. My hand is just a little big. But, brother, I am bad, and they know I'm bad.
I am a country boy, a kicker from Austin, Texas. I went to the bars and the streets for education. And I went to the ladies of the evening for a little insight on reality.
You know, sometimes life is a drag, sometimes life is a bust, but we all got to do what we must. We got to keep on keeping on, baby. And let's get funky like a monkey, baby.
It's 8 o'clock on a Monday night on the horn. That must mean this is Insincerious. I'm your host, Patrick Davis. With me, as always, the one, the only, Anthony White. On today's show, we're going to talk a lot about the NBA. So much NBA action is happening around the league. The playoffs just started. The play-in happened. It was a great success. We've talked about San Antonio and the Spurs and my pain and hatred for everything that comes up now and everybody complaining about games because I don't get to watch my team in the playoffs, which is rare for my adult life. That's weird to say, but rare for my adult life. And of course, some Insincerious news coming up later. We got some interesting stories for you. Some interesting stories, maybe some toddlers and some gunfire. Who knows what's coming up later, but I want to start things off. First of all, big thank you to everyone who came out and joined us this Saturday at Come and Take It Live. All the bands were amazing. Fans, it was so great to see people out to get concerts back. Anthony, thank you for coming out. It was so much fun, wasn't it?
It was a great time, and congratulations on putting together such a phenomenal event. Yeah, I was very happy to see all the people that came out. I hadn't seen these people in over a year. Great shows.
It's funny when you go out now. You just have that thing where you're like, man, I haven't seen you in like a year and a half, 2 years. Oh yeah, none of us have.
None of us have.
I've seen 12 people in the last year and a half.
And you know me, I'm not the biggest fan of people. And I was talking to everybody. It was just a great time.
Yeah, I always said hi to strangers, which I never do.
Yeah.
I never do that. That's normally the one is like someone's like, hey, are you Patrick? And I'm like, oh, no.
Do I have to be? No.
But yeah, thank you so much for everybody coming out. It was good. It's good to have concerts back. I know the Austin FC just announced today they are going to do full capacity at the new stadium when it comes back.
The Q2.
The Q2.
Yeah. Excited for that. Just to recap on that. They lost.
Again?
I'm starting to realize, so when we first started this, you kept asking me if I was a fan, and I was offended by it, and I'm realizing now I am not a fan. I want to be a fan, but I didn't even watch the game this week, so.
Yeah. As I told you before the show, I clicked it on it, and then I remembered that they were, Ultimate Warrior documentary was on, and so I had to go over the Ultimate Warrior documentary, and whoo, probably would have been more fun, to watch Austin FC lose.
Yeah.
Watch that.
Patrick likes to ruin my childhood. He's already done this once with The Undertaker, now with Ultimate Warrior, just about all the terrible things they've done in their past. It's fun times.
Look, just do your research and realize that our childhood was full of terrible people.
Yeah.
And Undertaker's not a terrible person. Let me state, Ultimate Warrior, pretty questionable person. Undertaker has some ideas I don't agree with, but I don't think he's a terrible person.
That's fair.
There's someone else that maybe has some ideas I don't agree with. And we want to get and start things off with a big question of the day. The questions of the day to start things off for us.
Yes.
Anthony, do you have some questions to start things off for us? I know was a news story. You sent it to me. I not heard about it because I stay out of Chicago White Sox newsletters for some reason.
Hey, you know what?
I have hatred for him since 2005, and they beat the Astros in the World Series.
Yeah, well, the Rooster's coming, whatever the saying is. So the story is Tony La Russa, who had been out of baseball for about 10 years now, became their manager, and recently in a game when they were up 15-4 against the Twins, one of their younger players, Yermy Mercedes, I think, he was told to take a 3-0 pitch. It was at the end of the game. The catcher was pitching, so it was one of those games.
Yeah, it's an end of the game, and it's unwritten rule of baseball.
Yeah,
that when it's a 3-0 pitch and you're up, you just take it. They throw it over the middle of the plate. This guy, they said he was throwing like 45 miles per hour.
Yeah, they called it, that was his fastball, and so he threw this pitch. The young player hit a home run, and Tony was livid. He chastised him as soon as soon as he got into the dugout, when he was asked about it after the game, he basically said, you know, it was a very immature, disrespectful thing to do to the game, and that he was going to learn what the player was going to learn one way or the other. And then the next day, the Minnesota Twins relief pitcher hit said player. And again,
he did not hit him. He threw at him.
Or he threw at him.
He threw at behind his knees, okay. But he threw at
still
him.
The same thing. Or not the same thing, but along the same lines. Yeah. And so after the game, asked about it, he said, you know, that's what's to be expected. Again, doubling down.
Oh, no, he didn't say that's what's to be expected. He said, I approve of it.
Yeah, basically doubling down and saying, yeah, that's what you should. And so now the question is, which I already can tell where this is going, was Tony in the right?
All right, let me ask you this. Okay. If I was going to ascribe to a normal person who doesn't really, just someone who's not a huge baseball fan, and I said, what seems more immature and childish with these two actions? Mm-hmm. First action, guy was pitched a baseball at a baseball game, hit a home run. Is that, or guy gets back to the dugout, old man yells at this young player in front of everybody, and then goes to the media to tell him he's an idiot and says he's bad and he did it wrong? Which one seems more childish to you?
Yes, when you put it blank statement like that, of
course.
No, that's
what I'm saying. I'm saying if you don't know baseball unwritten rules, that's ridiculous to have an old man who's been around this league forever go, this 22-year-old came out and he did something I don't like.
Well, so
you're the child, Tony.
No, I get
you're the child.
But then that leads to this whole conversation about baseball and its unwritten rules. And there's so many unwritten rules. Like, again, you know, flipping the bat
This is what blows my mind. If I hit a home run that I'm supposed to do,
right,
and I flip the bat, not at you,
not
away
at you,
from
just
you,
flip it, yeah,
flip it back to my own dugout, right? I flip that. It's okay and expected that you will throw a pitch at me and try and go, you know what? If he's nice, he won't try to injure you. The one that they threw at that kid was at his knees.
Yeah.
If he hits him in the knee, you go, he could take him out.
Yeah.
You could dislocate a knee, miss a season. Basically derail this kid's career.
Right.
Because you were so bad at baseball that you're getting blown out. It's absurd. And I think the managers who do this should all immediately be suspended. You should just go, hey, we are not children anymore. It's 2021. We've gotten over this. Stop pretending that this is the old man's game. All the Baseball Writers Association. We've got over this 2 weeks ago. The Hall of Fame needs to be completely redone.
Sure.
I'm sick and tired of just old people going, I struggled, so you have to struggle.
Right.
And you go, well, isn't the American dream that we struggle so our kids don't have to?
Sure.
And so you're saying, I don't want my kids to struggle. I want everyone who's not my kid to struggle.
Well, but here's the devil's advocate of this is, one, the Chicago White Sox are in first place. They're one of the best teams in the league. So clearly he's doing something right. I will say, I do understand where you're coming from. However, it was said that Tony La Russa gave the player the take sign. Before he swung, he told him, take the pitch. And so I know there's better ways of handling it, especially when it comes to the media. You handle in-house. But that was bad on the kid, correct?
No. So the kid, the rule is, what should have happened is he hits a home run. He comes off. The team goes, hey, man, nice home run. You can't do that anymore.
Right.
Man, we just don't do that in baseball. Like, that's like dunking at the end of a game when you're up by 15 and there's 20 seconds on the shot clock and you ran down and do a big windmill jam. You don't do
you
that.
You just don't do it. Yeah.
And I get that. And I like when I play basketball, if you're up, which I wasn't normally up by a lot, I didn't go down and throw down a monster jam.
Yeah.
But you go, I get the concept of it. And I agree that sportsmanship, you don't do that.
Sure.
But I also don't think you then try and publicly shame a kid because you're angry. Because you're angry at society. So you're going to shame this kid instead of taking it back and going, hey, man, I think there's a huge future in you. But things like this are not things that are going to help your career. They're things that are going to hinder you.
Yeah.
They're things where people are not going to be supporting of you as much. And you have that conversation. He goes, oh, man, I didn't think about it that way.
Sure.
But if you tell this young kid, hey, we're going to send you back. You were in the minors. You were on a bus. You finally get your dream back. And you understand you're going to get contract incentives for more home runs you hit. You're going to get bigger money for more home runs you hit. Then if someone throws you a 45-mile-per-hour ball down the middle of the plate and you're trying to make a name for yourself, you want the highlight reel. I get it's wrong, but I also understand why the kid did that, and I understand why the kid did that a million times more than a person who should be a statesman of the game to try and get kids to love this. If I'm a kid And I realize, oh, home runs and bat flips are not allowed.
Yeah.
The only thing that's allowed is being angry.
Yeah.
Then I don't want to play baseball.
Sure.
I don't want to be in the MLB.
Yeah. And I mean, if anything, it should have been, you know, one of the elder statesmen of the team, like one of the older players, to have taken him aside and explained these things to him.
And I mean, Tony La Russa should be that guy. Like, Tony La Russa should be this icon of the game.
Well, but he is.
Because of the success he had with the Cardinals.
But he's known for being this type of man.
I know. And that's really where the problem lies, is he's never had anybody sit him down.
Right.
And say, hey, you know that thing where you've got in trouble and you've had your sketch, you've had your problems?
Well, that's what I was going to say, is it's funny that he is such a stickler about these unwritten rules on a child's game, yet he can't follow actual laws in real life and has gotten his two DUIs. Like, what are we doing here? How is that?
And look, it's not even that. Because, look, people make mistakes and I'm fine with it. But you can't then
hitting a home run is a mistake.
Exactly. And you just can't go off on people like this.
Yeah.
You can't go off on kids like, it's like, I get, they're professional athletes, and I call them kids because they're young.
Yeah. And because we're old.
We're older. But there are professional athletes. I don't think you got to hold his hand.
Right.
But I think yelling at him in the media, all it does is make every fan of the White Sox who's under the age of 65 think the game has passed you by.
Yeah.
That why is this guy our manager? I know we're winning.
That's what I was going to say. As long as they're still winning. But I mean, it evidently, I think they just got swept by the Yankees. I could be wrong. But it's evidently caused a rift in the team, in the locker room, between him and his players. Because, yeah, this is, when you want to talk about unwritten rules, this is literally it's not a written rule, but it's another unwritten rule that you just don't do that. You don't go out to the media.
Yeah, what happens in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse.
So we want to talk about unwritten rules. Why are you doing this?
Because the rules don't apply to Tony La Russa.
Sure.
We're aware of that. The rules don't apply to people who have paid their dues. And it drives me nuts, because it is, the thing I do not get is the throwing at the pitchers, throwing at people.
It
drives me nuts in this day and age when the players need to understand. You're like, dude, I get you get upset at some people and stuff like that, but there's ways of doing this where you're not trying to, you're literally not in the possibility of taking guys' livelihood away from.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you let that ball slip and you're aiming at him and you're aiming for his back and it slips up.
Yeah.
And it catches him in the face. And he's out for two seasons, and, you know, maybe he loses brain, you know, he loses some brain function, that he's never the same guy. And do you want to have that on him because the guy flipped a bat?
Yeah.
Explain that to your kids in the future. Like, that kind of thing, I don't get throwing at players like that. I just don't get it. I think that is super outdated.
Yeah.
I think that should be gone in the steroid era and all that. Just let that go. Move on. We did it. It's fine. It happened. But let's move on and be positive with it, and to be like, And let's let pitchers stop complaining, because you know what? The pitchers complained, and now they're complaining backwards, because they're like, oh, yeah, you ruined the league because now you deaden the balls.
Yeah.
And so now we're dominating, and nobody cares. We're going to have 25 no-hitters in the first half of the season.
When pitchers are complaining about too many no-hitters and shutouts, you know it's a problem.
Well, you know, the ones that already have no-hitters are complaining.
That's very true.
You know who's going to be complaining then? Mike Fiers. Mike Fiers is going to be complaining.
Well, now that I got you all hyped up and upset,
let's go to someone else who's old that I like.
Let's just make you even more upset. So next question is about the Spurs and Greg Popovich. Where do they go now after losing the gut-wrenching loss in the tourney game against Memphis? You've got Pop. He's gotten older. He said he was going to leave when Tim left. Then he said when LaMarcus Aldridge left. He's still here. He's got, I think, 26 games, 26 more victories, and he'll be the all-time winningest coach in the NBA.
Which he already is, but the other way.
You've got DeRozan, who is up for free agency.
I think Patty Mills up for a free agency. A lot of their guys.
It's a big summer. So, as a Spurs fan, and just honesty, like, where do your Spurs go from here?
So, I mean, I think the big thing is, what does DeMar DeRozan decide?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, and that's, the Spurs can speculate all they want.
Do you want DeRozan back?
He can't just walk away. Like, you have to have a sign and trade in there. Because the problem with the NBA and the salary cap is, for teams that compete, is you have to be over the cap, right? You have to, so you can't sign players to go over the cap. You can re-sign players to go over, but you can't sign guys. there's not really cap space anymore unless you can get big name free agents. And the Spurs cannot draw big name free agents, really.
Right.
So if you're going to say we're probably not getting any big names.
Yeah.
So we have to, it'd be much better for us to sign DeMar DeRozan and then trade him off and bring in some other guys, keep our contracts up there, then re-sign DeJounte to a bigger deal, re-sign Derek White, re-sign, get everybody paid up, and then you go, okay, now we can kind of look where we're at.
So you're talking about, like, when you say sign and trade, are you talking about, like, expiring contract players that sign and trade? Or?
Yeah, so, like, basically you would sign and trade DeMar. So
right, but
you trade him to, like, Lakers or the Warriors or somebody like that who's already over cap, mm-hmm. but then they want to make a move because they, you know, they didn't win this year. Mm-hmm. So they say, we got to do something. We want to bring in this guy or the Miami Heat or somebody like that that were in the DeMar DeRozan trade talks. But basically, you let DeMar DeRozan negotiate with them on the contract, and then we just get something back for it, for taking it there. And so you get somebody back on your books who's a good player. You're not going to get full value.
No.
But you're going to get somebody back that you can kind of keep building on.
Yeah.
And I think that's really probably the best thing. I mean, I like DeMar. He still hasn't got a three-pointer. And there was times this season where it started to look like he was getting it. And he'd shoot like 4 for 5 for three or in a game or something. And he'd go, whoo-hoo, if he gets this, this changes everything.
But he's just and never going to be wouldn't number
shoot
one.
It. But he would just stop shooting it.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a question of him starting to miss a bunch. Mm-hmm. He would just miss one and then not just shoot anymore for three games. And you go, you have to shoot these threes because it's just pushing everything in. And then, you know, DeJounte Murray wants to drive, and Keldon Johnson wants to drive, and Derek White wants to drive. So everybody wants to drive. We got a big man in Eubanks or Poeltl who can't stretch the court.
Right.
So you're just, everything's jammed so far in, and they can stick a guy out on Patty Mills or Rudy Gay, which are two main three-point threats. Mm-hmm. Other than that.
Well, so let's say hypothetically that DeRozan doesn't come back. Does that then affect Pop's decision, or does
no,
it matter?
I mean, I think Pop's going to make his own decision. I don't see him leaving. I thought after his wife passed away that he was going to be gone.
Yeah.
When he didn't leave then, now I don't know when he leaves.
Right.
I think there's, if they have another bad season, like if they ever don't even, if they don't get
back
the play
to
play in.
Losing seasons.
I also think there's a part of it where he kind of wants to have his replacement ready to go, and I don't think he has it yet.
You don't think Beckingham?
I don't think Beckingham will be the coach of Spurs.
Wow. But, ever?
No. And that's not saying that she couldn't do it.
Okay.
I'm just saying I don't think at this point that she will ever be the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs.
Okay.
I it wouldn't bother me if she was.
Okay.
But seeing in the fact of kind of how like that, I think the fact that Popovich is still there tells me that she's not going to be. And maybe I'm completely off base on that one. But I feel like if he thought, okay, she's ready to go and this is going to be the thing, and the Holtz are behind it, and, you know, R.C. Buford's behind it, and everybody's behind this move, do that. And I also don't think he wants to put her in that position of, hey, here's the deal. Here's a team that's not ready, and I'm putting you in a position where you have to follow me, possibly the greatest coach of all time, with a franchise that is not ready to compete. And best case scenario, you get knocked out in the first round.
If even that, you might
and
be
looking
at, and that's
a best case scenario. That's your best case.
Yeah.
That's not, your normal is you didn't make the playoffs, and you're getting, and then you give her 2 years of that.
Yeah.
You get the first female coach in history 2 years of that.
That's a good point.
So I think there's some part of that where I don't think Pop wants to leave the hands and just go, hey, you're screwed.
Yeah.
We tried to do something, and then you're a footnote in history because they gave you two seasons and we didn't have anybody.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I think you also have to kind of have your core in place when you do it. You're not going to try and get free agents at that point just because it's going to make it a whole. But, you know, and it could be tomorrow. Tomorrow could come out, Pop retires, Beckingham as a coach. It's a complete possibility. I just don't think I don't think the Spurs, and I don't think Popovich wants to put her in that position.
That makes sense.
If you're sitting at the Spurs, Anthony, and you are looking at this team right now, are you trying to basically just completely rebuild?
Yeah, I mean, because if you look about the last few years, I mean, this is now two losing seasons, two seasons in a row where you haven't made the playoffs. You just are constantly stuck in the middle. And so at some point, you've got to accept what you are, who you are. And it's going to take, you know, maybe 5-6 years of rebuilding. But look at what Philly did, if anything. I mean,
but I get that. I will say the Spurs, and we I think the Spurs win the play-in game one. I don't know if they win the second one if they have Derek White. I think they're in a better place. They went like 2-10 in the last 12 games after Derek White got hurt.
Right.
So you lost a very good player in Derek White.
Sure, but that's kind of what I'm still saying though. Is like, yeah, you would have made the playoffs with Derek White, but how far would you realistically gone?
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of the point. Is like, what do you want to be? Do you want to just continuously be a team that can somewhat compete, or do you want to get back to, you know, the glory days?
I'll ask you this. If the Spurs come out, they are not, you know, they lose a ton of cap space. So mm-hmm. if they lose everything, I think they're sitting around $60 million mm-hmm. in cap of what they're actually using. And they could probably ditch a little bit more than that if they wanted to. Pirtle is making $9 million next year, which they could easily get him off the books if they wanted to. Someone will be glad to take
for
him
sure.
if they need him, if they were going to sign another center or something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, they have a bunch of smaller names as well on there. Is there a free agent that you think that they could get that they would get? I mean, like, is there a name out there, like, other than a Kevin Durant or a LeBron James? Or do you need someone that level to turn this team around? Or is there, what level of free agent do you need to turn this team around?
I honestly don't think there is a player out there that could turn the team around. I think it is a complete rebuild. You just have to start from scratch. And like I said...
But, I mean, you have to keep DeJounte Murray and Derek White, right?
And that's fine. Yeah, of course. But you can build off of those two young players.
Yeah, but then you got Keldon Johnson, who you like. You got Darren Vassell, who you kind of like. And you're not paying them a lot of money right now.
Yeah.
So you're not worried. You'd rather... Keldon Johnson for $4 million every day of the week.
Yeah.
And so the guys you've got guys on this team that are pieces, but a Keldon Johnson on a championship Spurs team is probably the seventh man, and he's starting for us.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a point where you got to add more pieces in there. And I think that's a big, I just don't know when the NBA drafts are going to start getting a little bit easier to navigate.
Sure.
Because I think the last few years with the one and dones, with what they're trying to do with the G League, with people going overseas, with so much kind of misinformation now in playing, I just don't see that it's so easy to find who's going to succeed on an NBA level that it was. I mean, when's the last time we had a number one overall pick where you went, that's the guy?
Yeah, it's been a while. I can't even think.
That's what I'm saying. I off the top of my head, I can't even think of who the last, like, oh my God, that or Zion. Clearly Zion actually is the guy.
Yeah.
But even Zion hasn't been. I mean, clearly Zion hasn't brought the Pelicans anything yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the last guy.
But I think they have a lot of talent. They have a lot of potential. They're getting there.
But they didn't make the playoffs. And that's what I'm saying.
But that's the process. Is you're going to have to fall. You're going to have to be, you know, a top three pick for a few years.
I know. Minnesota been doing?
That's terrible ownership. They make terrible decisions. So the Spurs have at least that one thing going, that they have great ownership. They have a great front management, front office. So they have the opportunity to build a decent team, you know, within, you know, 5-6 years. That's what I would have done.
All right. And so these were good questions. I do have one last question for you.
Okay.
What does Popovich do when he retires? Does he just disappear to the hills of Europe to drink wine and be an eccentric American 100%. Overseas?
Absolutely. Or he runs for a governor.
Oh, man, could you see a travel show with Pop and Tim Duncan?
It'd be the most boring show in the world.
And they literally they don't talk to the camera ever. They just sit and drink wine calmly. And then every once in a while they look up from their drink and go, that's nice. That's the entire travel show.
Nice.
And then someone walks over and goes, hey, hey Pop, did you hear what Trump said today? And he goes, ah. We gotta take a break. When we come back, we're gonna talk some more NBA. And also, what is more dangerous, Anthony? A 2-year-old or a handgun? We'll tell you about that coming up in Serious News here on the Horn 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Back on Insincerious here on the Horn. We just talked about what the Spurs might have to do in their future. And we've talked about the White Sox and the history of Tony La Russa. So why don't we get to some present? We did history, we've done future, and now it's time for the present. The playoffs just started in the NBA, and we had a pretty exciting first round. We had the play-in happen, which the play-in was, other than the start of the play-in, seemed like it was going to be a huge flop, right?
Yep.
And then after that, we got into it, and it was a lot of fun. Once again, the Western Conference saving the NBA with their fun. The Eastern Conference really let us down.
Steph Curry saved it.
I know, but I say there wasn't a bad game in the Western Conference plan. The Spurs-Memphis game was good. I mean, it was a comeback, but they tied it up with like 6 minutes to go.
Yeah.
So that one was a good game. Steph Curry versus the Lakers is iconic.
That was just a great finish of a game.
And then we saw Steph Curry. But then, I mean, it sucked. No, and Draymond Green cost the Golden State Warriors a run of the playoffs and might have cost the Utah Jazz in the first round. We don't know yet, but he could have.
Yeah.
Draymond Green could single-handedly have knocked Utah out of the playoffs. I don't know.
I mean,
because that was an ugly attempt. He was, what, 3 feet from the basket and didn't hit rim?
It didn't even hit rim. I saw that replay so many times, I still don't even know how he did that.
I don't know. He's a professional basketball
player. That's impressive. I love that. I think that's the only thing that you and I agree with our hate.
Is Draymond Green.
So what did you think about the play-in tournament? Did you like the format?
I did. I loved it going into the season that it, like, even if all the games weren't great, I still thought it was a good format to keep teams from tanking at the end of the season, to keep teams that had a chance to keep playing well. So I loved it from that aspect. I thought it was very entertaining. I think it's, you know, you get a Memphis team in that you see Memphis is hot at the right time. They had some injuries early, but they're a young team. And I think Memphis is a perfect example of why the play-in's a cool thing, because I just think Memphis is going to put up a better fight against Utah than any of those Golden State or the Spurs.
That was going to be my next question. Is if Golden State had won that game, do you think that there would be...
No, because I think there's a certain part where you can just kind of shut down Steph Curry. And if you slow down Steph Curry, right, the rest of the team against the Lakers, we saw Wiggins have a really good game. And that's why that game was close.
Revenge game.
But do you see what I'm saying? Like, he had a really good game there. So that's why that game was so close.
For sure.
And then in the Memphis game, when he disappeared, suddenly Steph Curry has to do it all, and then they don't win the game.
Nothing.
But
that's
the difference, is he needs help, and if no one else shows up, and I don't think a 7-game series is going to get enough help.
No.
So, I think that worked out well for Memphis to get in. I know then you can go, well, the regular season doesn't matter. It did matter. It mattered. But, yeah, none of those teams, it shouldn't. I don't think it bothers. I mean, it bothers Golden State fans. But they also walked out before the end of the game instead of cheering on Steph Curry like they should have.
Yeah.
Like, you should have gone down and said, Steph Curry, it's been an honor to watch you play basketball this year. Because, holy God.
Single-handedly
keep
a team together. So, yeah, so based off the success of the play-in, Adam Silver is now talking about bringing it, or he tried this last year and it didn't even go to a vote, but doing an in-season tournament, kind of like they do over in soccer.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Actually, if
you don't know what it is, it's basically like eight teams, or you play all the teams in your division, four home games, four away. The top teams from each division then play like quarterfinals, semifinals, and then the champion of this in-season tournament, that team wins $15 million that's spread across the team, and then the coaches win, I think, $1.5 million. But that's literally all it is. It's just for money and ratings, of course, but it has no effect on playoff seeds.
And I think that's the thing, is it's a thing where you're going to get people injured a lot of times. It's something where you're going to try and get people to, like, certain people are going to be way more amped up about it for others, but that, for ratings wise, it's maybe three games that I care about in that. You're like, the semifinals and finals is probably all I really care about in that tournament, because the rest of it, you're just like, oh, it's just regular season games.
Right. And so that's kind of my question is what I don't understand is why is this even still a topic of conversation? Because who is it incentivizing? Because it's like the top teams, like the Lakers, those players don't need that money. They don't care about that money.
No, I mean, it's solely a thing for television, that he is trying to sell sponsorships and television advertising. And like, I work in radio. You're constantly trying to find segments and things and create things that you can then sell. You're always trying to create, and I think all that is he's trying to create something he can sell. So it's the T-Mobile play-in tournament brought to you by Nissan.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, that's what he's trying to do, and it's bringing extra revenue. That's what all it is. I don't think that anybody's really going to fall for it. I think it could happen. I don't think anybody's going to care.
Okay.
Like, do you think they put a mode into it for NBA 2K? Did they put in the play-in tournament?
Well,
or did anybody play that? Did anybody go, ooh, I got
to
do my play-in tournament?
It's the least played
mode on NBA 2K if you put it in.
Yeah.
So I don't think basketball fans really care about it. If it happens, fine. I wouldn't take away 82-game season. You still want to have 82 games for every team. I mean, I think it sucked the last 2 years. We haven't had that. So don't change that. I like an 82-game season. I like it statistically looking from generation to generation.
Yeah.
And I don't think the league's in a good enough place right now player-wise to say, hey, let's try and start this new generation. I think, you know, you should go ahead and wait on it and just, you know, if you want to do that in the middle of the season and give everybody basically, I think teams would take a break too. I think teams would tank in that series just to go, I get a week off.
Yeah, that's exactly what it
would. I would,
yeah,
like, if I'm already, I would just tank.
Yeah.
Do they go ahead, beat me in the first round.
Yeah.
I sat my starters. I sent them home already.
Well, so we had a successful in-game tourney, and then we had a great start to the playoffs. A bunch of great game one games. I think four upsets, technically upsets.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest takeaway or the biggest upset to me was the Mavericks beating the Clippers by 10. I don't know if you watched that game, but it
I watched parts of it.
The Clippers looked like a shell of a team they are, and which just brings me joy. But
and as a Spurs fan, Kawhi Leonard not doing well brings me joy as well.
Yeah, and then you had the highly contested battle with Lakers and the Suns, and CP3 doing what CP3
doesn't seem like a first round series
does
it?
Not at all, and it didn't even seem like a game one. That game seemed like a game seven of a conference final or something like that. It was a great back and forth.
And I mean, you wouldn't think, too, if you said which one's the 2 seed and the 7 seed.
No.
Because you would say, all right, the 2 seed is the defending champions. They're a little bit older. And then we got this young upstart team in the Suns. They got their veteran leader in Chris Paul. And Chris Paul will not go away. He just won't go away.
Yeah.
That dude almost made me throw a TV through a wall one time when he beat the Spurs on a last second layup.
Yeah.
And I picked up the TV. And I looked at the wall, and I realized I was at my friend's house. It's not my wall, not my TV. Put it back down. Slowly put it back down.
So many thoughts before that should have happened. But
no, it was because there was a button. It was one of those things you had to do the button on the bottom of the TV.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it. I couldn't find the button to turn it off. And so how do you turn off a TV that you can't
throw
do?
It?
You throw it against the wall.
Right.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
Sense.
I was like, you know what, Patrick? Sit in the dark for a little bit. Calm down. But yeah, though that Chris Paul can make me do that, I'm sure playing against him is a different level of annoying.
Right. So did you have any, what was your biggest takeaway from the first game ones?
I think, you know, it's the middle of the pack is a lot more contested than it was assumed.
Yeah.
The Mavericks, the Clippers, the rumor was they tanked out of that to trying to play the Lakers.
It's not a rumor.
That's the rumor.
It's
and
true.
if they did, that's the most Kawhi Leonard, most Paul George,
for
most
sure.
Ty Lue, most Clipper thing you could do, which was overlook everyone else because you just are so focused on one thing that doesn't matter. And you just go, we can't play the Clippers. You go, you know the other teams play basketball too, right?
Yeah.
No. Well, only one team plays basketball, right?
The best. And I think,
and if you told me first round you get a play and you don't leave home, I'd do that.
Yeah.
I think that's a better matchup. If I go, we're the better team, we're trying to win a title, I'd rather play in my home. I play my home stadium all seven games.
But see, that's kind of what it gets to, is it? That proves that they were running from the Lakers because the home is
also,
still.
Also, this other thing, when I say home games, Kawhi Leonard doesn't live in L.A. Kawhi Leonard lives in San Diego. It's a 4-hour drive.
Yeah.
So it's on every game's an away game for him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't care about you, L.A. Kawhi Leonard doesn't care about you.
I love it.
But seeing that go through, I mean, Trailblazers, Damian Lillard will never go away.
Never go away. Yeah.
So watching that, I think a lot of people are really high on the Nets. You got to beat the Celtics by 40 next game, man. The Celtics suck. They're not a good basketball team this year.
That's
and they have talent, but they suck.
Fair. Yeah.
They should almost didn't even win the play-in.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised they even made it this far.
And you're with an 11 of this team that everyone's like, oh, they're so good. No, that's James Harden basketball 101 is to not blow out teams when you should blow them out, and you let teams stick around. You can't let teams stick around. If New York, if they sweep and the closest game is this, then I'll say, all right, the Nets are for real.
Yeah.
If you just keep playing these close games and Boston pulls one off on you, you know, what's a real team going to do? Because
sure.
The Boston is so talented, but they're not a real team this year.
Yeah.
They've fallen apart. They're done. Jason Tatum is the thing that... He's
the Curry of what...
Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, that sticks out to me of it's kind of people being like, well, those three guys are playing amazing. Of course they are. They're all superstars. They're all Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
But... You need to step it up a little bit more, or else you're going to get caught in a game where one of you starts shooting poorly, still puts up 25 shots and only makes four of them, and then Jason Tatum goes off and shoots, you know, 30 for 45 and wins the game.
Well, I will say one of my biggest takeaways is Giannis. Yep. Watching that game, I know Miami, the Heat, you know, they were in the finals last year, but that game, Butler played terrible, and they had to win off of a last-second shot. Giannis will never win a title being the number one on a team and not having a legitimate number two.
So now this, we talk about this. This is what I'm thinking you're thinking. He needs Scottie Pippen. If he's not, or is he Scottie Pippen?
I here's the thing. I think if he found his Scottie Pippen, if he got his Scottie Pippen, then he could. But the difference is Scottie Pippen knew he was a role player. I think.
Yeah, but Giannis, you're saying Scottie Pippen was one of the best second guns ever, right?
Giannis has all the talent in the world, but he is not a leader of a team, and that's kind of what you watch. Like the last play of the game, like he was nowhere near the ball. He didn't want the ball. It was Middleton taking the shot.
It's a decoy thing, you're a decoy, but you're not really a decoy.
Because they know he's not going to take the shot, and so. And then I think my most intriguing matchup is going to be that Atlanta Hawks Knicks matchup. I know that they're not going to do anything. They're not going to make the finals. Neither one of those teams. But the competitiveness, and then Trae Young, what he did in that game and shut down Madison Square Garden, like that is heated up.
I'm going to say this. I think that series is going to be the most fun to watch.
Most fun.
But I'm going to give a caveat for that.
Okay.
No announcers on that series. I will put on music every single time I watch that because I do not want to hear them talk about how great New York is. I don't want to hear them talk about how great
Spike
this
Lee.
Young team is and all these young players and just hear them rant and rave and not really talk about the game, but just say how great every... I just don't like announcing for those series because it is. It's like you're going to say that. And then whoever wins, the next series, you're going to talk about how this team's not good enough to win this next series.
Yeah.
So you understand you're basically saying all this to be a hypocrite in a week and a half, 2 weeks. So I know that. So I'll put on music and it'll be so much fun to watch that series with music on. But that's my tip of the week on that one. don't listen to the announcers just brag and like, oh, how great is MSG? Oh, I should put more people in here. Oh, it's so great. Come on. I get it. We get it.
All right. Well, so what is your favorite matchup for the...
I mean, that's probably the one that'll be the most fun to watch. And then I think if the Mavs continue to play well...
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. If the Clippers start winning, I don't want to watch that series.
Oh, of course not.
But if the Mavs are winning, I'm a Spurs fan and I'm go Mavs go.
Yeah.
All day long.
Yeah.
Oh, beat up. If you sweep the Clippers... Oh,
after
I will go to the parade. I'll throw you a parade. One car going down 6th Street.
They talked so much about how they were they're going to be the new team. They're the new, they're taking over the Lakers. They're going to be the new team of LA. And it's just something about those colors. As soon as you put that jersey on, you realize, oh, I'm a Clipper. And it just all falls apart.
I don't think it's that. I think it's you put a bunch of guys like Kawhi Leonard who won in San Antonio because he had a lot of really good players and good leaders and a good coach.
They have
and
a
then
great
he went to Toronto
team.
And he went to Toronto with a lot of great players and great leaders and great coach. And then he went to LA and put in his contract. I do not want to be talked to. No one can tell me what to do. I will show up whenever I want. I do not leave this team. Yeah. It is my team. Me and Paul George can do whatever we want.
Right.
And you guys show up and help us out.
Yeah.
And that team is not how that's how you win.
Yeah.
And I think that's the deal is everything that's come out about it is that they're constantly like everyone's just sitting on the tarmac time and time again because he drives in from San Diego for playing and he shows up late.
So do you think if Doc Rivers, let's just hypothetical, if Doc Rivers,
if
he wins a title this year, does that kind of even just like cement more of this legacy of Kawhi being this just when he came to the Clippers just being this unbearable?
Oh, yeah, and I think it cements somewhat of the Clippers' rust because you go, well, he won in Boston, he won in Philly. And he went to the Clippers and
had all the talent.
Oh, they paid the money. Yeah. They did everything. And so I think there's definitely something to be said. And I mean, there is something to be said about never really having a home court advantage. And so, I get the Clippers do well now, but I think there's always a fact that it's not your building.
Yeah.
That there's something where you're never really get that full, like they're coming to our town. Right. It's always kind of you're going to Lakers town.
Yeah. For sure. So is that your highest seed team that would you think that has the biggest chance of losing?
I think they have the biggest chance of losing. Uh-huh. But we can still say if Memphis keeps going hot,
Memphis.
There's injuries. I think if Portland gets hot, there's injuries.
Yeah.
And
Heat again, like I said,
I don't think the Heat win just because I don't think they're consistent enough this year.
Okay.
That's been their huge problem all year is consistency. So I think we're about I think that that's going to be one. But, I think there's a lot to look forward to. It was a good week. Good start to playoffs.
Sure. Yeah, I'm hyped about it.
I'm excited about it. We'll see going through. We're off next week, but we'll come back to you later in it, and we'll see how much further we get. We got to take a break, though, because it's time to get to some stories. Maybe there will be some cute kid stories coming up here in a minute. Who knows? Maybe some fun elderly stories. We don't know. We're coming back on It's Serious here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. Back on Insincerious, it's time for some Insincerious news. Anthony, are you ready?
I'm ready.
This is the segment where the chickens come to roost, Anthony.
God damn it.
Our first story comes to us from Maine, where a 2-year-old boy has gotten in some trouble. He found something naughty on the nightstand, Anthony.
I'm not answering that.
He found a gun on the nightstand, Anthony, and in one shot injured himself, his mother, and his father. None of them are dead, so it's hilarious.
So we can laugh. Is his name
Stewie?
Yeah, it
was minor injuries on all three, but he hit one. So magic bullet. He's probably descendant of John Wilkes Booth, or not John Wilkes Booth, Lee Harvey Oswald. I got it. Assassinated president.
I tell you what, though, they're going to move a lot quicker when you ask for some milk and cookies, though, right?
You know what? First of all, who puts a gun on a nightstand?
Somebody deserving to get shot by their 2-year-old.
There's a commercial out now where the guy's like, it's just a family. And you're like, what are they selling? What are they selling in this commercial?
Oh, and then
in the end, the girl turns around and the guy hits the ground.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, it's a fake gun he shot him with. And then they're like, the real gun was right behind him, but it was in a safe. Yeah, that's a creepy commercial.
Yeah.
Those people need to invest in a safe instead of just... Hey, where's little Bobby? Oh, he's over there, and he seems mad.
That's ridiculous.
Now, the worst part is when you get shot by your 2-year-old and he starts crying. He starts crying because the recoil hit him in the face, and then you have to comfort a 2-year-old after being shot. The 2-year-old shot you, then be like, it's okay. It's okay. He shot me. He shot Daddy in the face. You shot Daddy in the head. Oh no!
I think I'm gonna let him cry for a little bit.
You're going to let him figure that one out? Yeah. Oh, that one will make you not want to be a gun owner or a parent. That one will just kind of make, you know what? That's that commercial. That is just at the end of that and just goes Trojan.
Nice.
Next story comes to us. A woman on TikTok posted a story.
You really like TikTok.
A woman on TikTok posted a story that the worst time she was ghosted in high school and how crazy she got. Uh-huh. She went on a couple dates with a guy.
Yeah.
She then felt the guy ghosted. She went to his friends and was like, hey, where's this guy? And they all go, I don't know where he was.
Yeah, because that's red flags.
And so she was like, oh. And then she finally figured out. She did some sleuthing, some real hardcore sleuthing. And she found out this guy was in prison. He's in prison. And so instead of being like, oh, dodged a bullet on that one. With old convict Corey. Yeah. No, she goes, joins a group that's going to visit the prison, then goes to try and find this guy, and then ends up backfiring because they're like, yeah, the girls can't go where the guys are in prison because have you ever seen Silence of the Lambs? Things may be thrown and it's not going to go well for you.
Did we find out why he's in prison? Is it pedophilia?
It might be something in the statutory department.
But all I heard was a woman who is committed to her love. That's all I heard.
I don't think this is the thing. I think she tries to make that story sound nice. I think the reality was she was going to yell at a man in prison for ghosting her. I 100% she's that type of crazy where she was just walking with a group. With the whole, the Seinfeld episode where George has the cake on?
Yeah.
She's got the shirt on and goes, this was what I was going to wear to our date. He's like, I'm in prison.
Yeah.
I don't know. Next story comes to us from France. A elderly Bonjour. Couple was in France and they had a nice meal. They had a nice dinner with their family. They recently moved to France.
Okay.
And so they were having a nice dinner with their family. The next day when they came home to tell their older daughter came home and said, oh, how was dinner? And she goes, oh, it's great. We had some great pâté and some bread. It was delicious. She goes, oh, really? Where'd you get the pâté from? Like, I bought your groceries.
Yeah.
Where'd you get the pâté? And they go, oh, here's the can. They didn't eat cat food, Anthony.
Hey, man, have you ever seen pâté? It looks like cat food. I can understand.
I get that. First of all, who just eats pâté during the week? Like, it seems like when
you're in France,
they lived in France now.
They were trying to figure things out.
And also, who thinks, man, this pate tastes so good, they put a cat on the label?
You started this off by saying elderly people. You got to give them some credit. Listen, you're talking to the guy who was on a date and literally was eating edamame just as is and was chewing on it for 10 minutes before the girl was like, hey, you got to take the pods out.
You got to take the pods out. And then I mean, like, it's like tamales.
Tamales, people. Yeah.
It's
sometimes you just need some explanation.
This is my favorite part, is they said how great it was. So
that
people,
is true.
This is the thing
that.
Of when people are so full of BS.
So full.
Like food wise, yeah. people that don't like, cause I know, I'll tell you, like, I don't know what's great food or whatever. These people sat there and were like, it's so delicious. It's so delicious.
It's an acquired taste.
And a final story comes from San Francisco. A man bought a drink for a man accidentally bumped into a guy, spilled his drink, bought a drink for said man. The man then said, okay, thank you. Turned around, decided he wasn't going to take it, and bit the other man's nose off.
Hey, man, sometimes you got
to
bite a nose.
Is there a worse way to end your night than, hey, how did your night end? Well, we were out all night drinking. It was a good time. And then they bit my nose off. Don't want to be nosy, but how did that happen?
We're
almost out of time. We'll be back next week with more. Oh, we won't be back next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We're off for Memorial Day next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more great and serious content. For Anthony White, I'm Patrick Davis. Keep your underwear clean. We'll see you next week. Peace.